Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, where we bring awareness to people and organizations who are doing really great things, and we give them a platform to share how they're making an impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. According to 2023 home ownership and market trends, the Milwaukee area housing market is experiencing some of the nation's highest year-over-year price increases, with a key factor being a long-standing shortage of available housing, a problem for both renters and buyers. Stats show one in three Milwaukee renters paying 50% or more of their income on housing costs. This is obviously a problem because a widely used guideline recommends spending no more than 30% of your gross monthly income on housing. This is further complicated by the fact that about 70,000 families in Milwaukee County earn $15 an hour or less. Yet there are only about 30,000 rental units that are affordable for them. They're looking for rent that costs no more than about $650 a month, yet the median rent in Milwaukee as of September 2025 is a little over $1,100 per month. Today, we're going to learn more about two area nonprofits who are offering solutions to this problem of affordable housing in Milwaukee. And my first guest today is Kelly Schlicht from Habitat for Humanity Milwaukee, who seeks to put love into action and bring people together to build homes, communities, and hope. Welcome to the show today, Kelly.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. I love this idea of putting love into action. What was it about the mission of Habitat that drew you to it?
Sure. Well, I had been fundraising in the arts sector for about 5 years when the pandemic happened. And I was looking around to different options because I had been in fundraising events and I was furloughed. And I happened to see a listing for Milwaukee Habitat. And it was aligning with something inside of me that wanted to give back more to people's basic needs, to help them find that one of the most basic needs we have is shelter and affordable housing. And I was lucky enough to be hired by Habitat pretty quickly. And just going from there, it's been a wonderful experience the past 5 years working with them. I say that we really put the humanity in our name. We treat everyone with respect, no matter who they are, if they are a person who is applying to be a homeowner or if they are our top donor. We treat everyone with dignity and respect and kindness and love. And it's a really wonderful place to work.
Well, that's a wonderful mission to be a part of, I'd say, for sure. Well, most people have heard of Habitat for Humanity, and they know that you build homes, right? But they may not be totally familiar with the full story of who specifically you serve. Do you want to share on that?
Sure. So we serve people who are generally cost-burdened renters. So they are people who have a steady source of income. They're out there working. They make about 30 to 80% of the area median income, which is about $35,000 to $80,000 a year for a family of four currently in our area. And, you know, generally, they're just struggling to find a place to own that is in their price range and that they can afford. Down payments are a huge barrier that we are able to remove because we offer down payment assistance. And so we partner with people who are just regular folks. Last year, actually 40% of our partner families worked in the healthcare field. So the people we serve are employed, hardworking folks. They're people like Erica. She moved into a house about a year ago, and she is a medical assistant at a cardiologist's office. She'd been saving for years to afford her own place for her and her 10-year-old son, Brenton. But they were always just feeling like it was financially out of reach for them to own a home on the open market. She felt really unsafe in the rental that they were renting in Glendale due to some rowdy neighbors and neglectful landlords. And she felt like the need to move out sooner rather than later. And so Erica was looking for a house online, and she saw a social media ad for Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity. And she said, "This is the sign I've been waiting for." So she looked into the program and she applied, got through it. They own the home, and now she and Brenton can sleep through the night without the loud partying next door. And her son's favorite part of the house is actually the washer and dryer, as he calls it, the laundromat in the basement, because he no longer has to go every week with his mom to go sit in the laundromat to do their laundry. So it's really that simple thing,
right,
of having just those simple amenities, and those are the people we serve.
And sometimes I think we take certain things for granted, right? You know, those of us that have laundry in our basement or a laundry room on the first floor or second floor, you know, we kind of just assume that it's always available. Well, Habitat for Humanity is certainly a recognizable brand in the nonprofit sector. But what are some things that people may not know about the local affiliate?
Sure. Well, we've been around since 1984, and we've served more than 1,500 families, purchasing new homes and repairing the homes that they live in already. And we are most famous for building those new houses. It's recognizable. But we also have a critical home repair program for people who already own the home that they live in. And we build on lots that are previously owned by the city of Milwaukee. We're able to purchase those lots for a dollar a piece, and we then add to the tax base by putting a homeowner in that space where the vacant lot would have been, where the city is paying to upkeep that lot.
I bet a lot of people would be very interested to know that. I know when we did our volunteer activity not too long ago, we learned about that, and that was an interesting little statistic. Tell us about where Milwaukee Habitat fits in with the affordable housing sector in our area.
Well, housing needs are on a full spectrum, from unhoused folks needing immediate emergency housing to people like our partner families who are looking to become homeowners but are struggling with the overpriced rental situations and the difficulty of finding an affordable mortgage. So we help create more housing stock in Milwaukee by building those new homes and then also counseling people to get into an affordable mortgage product.
And so what are some of the programs that you offer as a potential solution? You know, how are you responding to the housing crisis?
Sure. So we are building 34 brand new homes this year. And next year, we will be building 40 new homes. That is in response to the need in the community as laid out by the Community Development Alliance's housing plan for the city of Milwaukee that came out in 2021. We are a partner with that organization. And it laid out that we need to be creating more housing. There has not been a two-scale building boom in Milwaukee since just after World War II. So we are providing that need. We are actually the largest home builder in the city of Milwaukee and the only home builder building to scale in the inner city. We're also the only home builder in the area building for under $300,000 assessed value.
Very good. Very good. Well, we're actually going to take a quick break right now, but when we return, Kelly is going to talk about what neighborhoods they're currently working in to build these homes and how many families will benefit as a result. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking in our next segment here with Kelly Schlicht from Habitat for Humanity, Milwaukee. So, Kelly, tell us what lucky neighborhoods you're currently building in and how many families you'll serve through new home builds this year.
Yes, Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity is building 34 brand new homes in the city of Milwaukee in the Harambe, Midtown, Lindsay Heights, and King Park neighborhoods. We are also doing 80 to 100 critical home repairs in areas on the north and northwest sides and the south sides of the city, including many lead abatement projects. And next year, we will be building 40 brand new homes, some of which we aim to build outside of the city of Milwaukee for the first time in other municipalities in the county.
Okay, well, that's exciting. And again, I think if people are hearing about the growth, they'll want to fill out an application, perhaps, and get on that list. Tell us how you partner with future homeowners in the program.
We love to set our partner families up for success. Our program is a hand up, not a handout. And our partner families participate in 200 hours plus of sweat equity, which means that they volunteer to build their homes and their neighbors' homes. They also complete 40 hours of financial literacy courses during the orientation program, so they're ready to be fiscally responsible homeowners. And we are seeing a lot of our applicants, we have thousands of applicants every year, by the way, who they've been doing the right things to prep for homeownership. They're paying down their debt. They're getting their credit score higher. They're looking for homes within their price range. But it's so tough in the housing market right now to find a home that is move-in ready and within their price range and that they can afford the down payment for. Particularly if you are a single-income household, you're getting outbid very quickly on the open market, which about 84% of the people we served last year were single female-led households. So one way that we help our partner families is through down payment assistance, which is one of the major barriers. And we also have lending partners who offer our partner families low interest mortgages. So yes, they do pay a mortgage. This is not a free house. And so the average mortgage payment on a Milwaukee Habitat home is about $950 a month, including taxes and insurance. So in comparison to a rent for a two-bedroom apartment, which can be anywhere from $1,100 to $1,800 a month in the city of Milwaukee, our families are saving hundreds of dollars every month. They're setting themselves up for success, and they're creating intergenerational wealth.
And they have their own brand new home, which is so wonderful. For somebody listening, how do they apply?
So they go online, they fill out an application, and there is a lot of different financial information that they have to provide for our family services team. Our family services team then gets in touch with the homeowner and or the future homeowner, and they counsel them through the whole process of maybe the credit score isn't quite where it needs to be. So these are some tips you can do. Or maybe you need some help with paying down your debt. Here's a resource that you can go through, and maybe you can reapply if you're not quite ready yet. We don't like to say a hard no. We like to help people wherever they're at in their process.
Yeah, and I think that sweat equity thing is really interesting too. They are a part of their home that's being built. They have, they've been involved with it from the very first building of the home, which I think is great. You have something, as you mentioned a little bit about in the first segment, called the Critical Home Repair Program. Can you elaborate on what that is?
Sure. Our Critical Home Repair Program offers major home repairs for people who already own their own homes on the city's north, northwest sides and the south side of Milwaukee in three different neighborhoods on the south side. So if you are living in your home that you've owned, and let's say you are maybe a retiree on fixed income and you need to replace your roof, this is an excellent program to apply to. It is a 0% interest loan up to repayable over 5 years, up to $20,000. And we go through an approved list of contractors to come out and do that repair. And that way you can trust that the repair will get done. It'll be done well, and you'll be able to stay in your home and be safe.
Okay. I think one of the most visible experiences of Milwaukee Habitat is the volunteers that you see in hard hats on the build site. How can people get involved if they're listening and they want to get involved either from a corporate standpoint or just maybe individually? How would they go about doing that?
Build days, as you mentioned, are a fantastic experience. And we wanted to say thank you for EIG for coming out a
yes.
few weeks ago to build in our warehouse, panelizing some of our walls.
It was a lot of fun.
I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can be from a company, a faith group, a civic organization. Volunteers must be 18 and older to be on the build site, or 16 and older if you are with a parent. You can volunteer as an individual, and if you come out frequently, at least once a month, you can become what we call a habitual volunteer. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have any previous skill or equipment of your own. We provide all of the tools and the training on site. You just have to be willing to learn and pitch in.
And the habituals that we met the day we volunteered, really great guys. Really great guys.
It's a fantastic thing if you or someone you know is about to retire and you're looking for something to do, keep yourself busy, work with your hands. It's an excellent opportunity. Also, if building isn't your thing, we have opportunities at our restores in Wauwatosa and in Franklin. So if you like more of a retail setting, we have that available as well. We're always looking for more volunteers. And they like to, you know, stay physically active, and you can learn new skills, and you can also just find a really enriching experience out there on a social level. You can meet people from all walks of life, and you really find a sense of community as you're volunteering with us.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. Again, it was a really fun experience for, I believe there were 10 of us that volunteered from different parts of the business here at EIG. And it was just a really great opportunity to get together and work alongside someone you normally wouldn't, but to do something fun. I mean, it was really fun to swing that hammer, I have to say. and then I also understand that we or anybody else who volunteers can actually go to the home once it's all done and just kind of send the new homeowners off with well wishes and blessings, right?
Yes, we have what we call our home dedications. And when the homeowner moves into the home, we have a ribbon cutting across their front porch, and we have a blessing, and people who have sponsored the home and worked on the home get up and share their well wishes. And the homeowner also gets to share their story. And it's one of my favorite days of my job. And it's beautiful. And people are frequently crying good kind of tears.
Mm-hmm. Happy tears.
Yes, happy tears. And it's really beautiful to see on the blocks where we've built a bunch of Habitat houses. When people have already moved in, they come to their neighbors' home dedications too. And you really see the mission put into action of we are building those homes and community and the hope.
Yeah, I can't wait for when we get to do that. And I can guarantee you there'll be tears. I just know it. Well, you mentioned before that you have retail sites in Wauwatosa and Franklin, restore stores. How does that connect to the mission?
Yeah, so our restores, you can drop off gently used household items, any kind of thing from your house, whether, you know, it's an old couch or you're cleaning out your father's workbench. You can drop off old tools, anything like that. And we resell that, and the proceeds go back into our mission to build and repair more homes.
And do you offer pickup service?
We do. You can go on our website and milwaukeehabitat.org and go under the restore tab, and there's information about pickup service. We also have a deconstruction program. So we have a volunteer crew, and for a flat fee of $250, they will come out to your home. Let's say you're redoing your kitchen and bath. They can rip out all the fixtures, and then that will be resold in the restore, whatever can be salvaged. So it's a very affordable program. It's a win-win because we can keep some things out of landfills.
Yeah.
And the proceeds go back into our mission.
And I think it's important that people know about this pickup service, because oftentimes people will come to me asking if I know of a place that needs whatever, ABC, XYZ, whatever it is. And some people have furniture that they themselves don't have a truck, or maybe it's an elderly person. Knowing that you guys can come and pick up, I think, is a really big thing. So thank you for sharing that.
And we also do some business-to-business donations as well. So if offices are renovating, that is also accepted at the restore for a donation too.
Very nice. Well, because affordable housing is such a big issue in our community, and I say all the time that we never want to sweep under the rug any of the challenges that our city experiences. We know that that challenge exists, but we want to highlight the people that are offering solutions. And I think it's important to have a plan for the future. What big plans does Habitat for Humanity Milwaukee have for growth in this region?
Sure. So we are growing to meet the needs of our community. when I started in 2020, we had been building between 15 to 20 homes per year, but our leadership realized that that wasn't enough to meet the demand. And our CEO, Brian Sonderman, has been involved, as I mentioned, with the Community Development Alliance from the beginning, participating in the 2021 housing study, collaborating with the CDA on its 2021 housing plan, and, you know, looking forward to the next decade of how we can be a vital part of the solutions. As I mentioned, we are one of the most efficient organizations for building new single-family homes in the area, and we can build to scale because we are a nonprofit organization. So it would not be profitable for a commercial builder to come in and do what we are doing. So with the support from foundations, companies, individuals, we can offset the additional costs and keep the homes within that affordable threshold when we sell them, which is 30% or less of someone's annual income for that mortgage. And so this year, we are building 34 new homes. In 2026, we will be increasing to 40 new homes a year, which is ahead of our schedule. We had hoped to reach that milestone by 2028. And this means we are serving double the amount of families that we used to, and setting these families up for intergenerational wealth creation and success through home ownership and that stability that home ownership provides. In order to increase our services, we are needing to hire more construction staff to build the homes and more family services staff to help qualify our partner families into the program. If we are successful, we have the possibility of serving even more families beyond 40 homes a year in the future and sustaining it at that level.
Nice. Very nice. If you can elaborate on how people can support your mission, just kind of summarize some of the things that you've already talked about in terms of how people can support your mission.
Absolutely. One of the wonderful points of entry, I like to say, is our annual gala. It is held annually in October. We also have an annual women build that happens throughout the summer. You can donate household goods to the ReStore. As I mentioned, we take furniture. Other organizations no longer take furniture, so that's a good thing to know. I mentioned we can do pickups. And, you know, most of all, you can find all of this on MilwaukeeHabitat.org or just Google Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity. And, you know, donations are always accepted. The most important thing is to tell others what you've learned about housing and start a conversation. Because housing issues affect all of us, and it's going to take all of us to solve this together.
Yeah. And I can guarantee you that those 10 of us that volunteered are out there talking about, first of all, the fun we had in helping, but also understanding the challenge and how everybody can play a small part in some way. So thank you, Kelly Schlicht from Habitat for Humanity Milwaukee. Thank you for being here today and sharing your passion for serving families in our community in the affordable housing area. Thank you. Well, Kelly talked about the importance of aligning with the community on this goal of providing affordable housing. Our next guest is one who collaborates with Habitat in order to do just that. So stay tuned to learn more after our short commercial break.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is Joanna Jimenez from the Community Development Alliance, who works closely with Habitat for Humanity in order to help provide a quality and affordable home for every Milwaukeean. Welcome to the show today, Joanna.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
You're welcome. So let's start by having you share with us how you're connected to Milwaukee Habitat.
Well, I am currently on my second and my last term as a member of the board of directors for Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity, but my roots were planted a very long time ago. In 2005, my three young children and I were living with my sister and her children in a very small apartment in Milwaukee. I learned about the homeownership program through Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity, and I applied. I was shocked that when I got approved for the program, but it definitely gave me determination to make sure that I can provide a stable and safe place for my children, and one with more space also. Being a part of the construction process through the sweat equity that I had to put in made me work really hard to finally be able to buy my own home in 2007. That home was a safe haven and an opportunity for me to start building my legacy with my family. Going through the homeownership program with Habitat also gave me the opportunity to connect with neighbors, and I became more than just a homeowner. I became part of an ecosystem of a thriving and growing community. I became, again, more than just a property owner. I was able to become a leader and a champion for other families that needed a safe and affordable place to live and raise their families. It sparked a passion in me to become a real estate broker and a business owner, as well as an advocate for homeownership.
And I think your story is so beautifully spoken, you know, as far as really helping us to see the impact that Habitat for Humanity is making. You know, to hear these impact stories is really helpful for the audience to really understand what it's all about. Walk us through your home ownership journey, if you would.
Sure. It's a very long one, but I can start by saying that I never thought that home ownership was going to be in my future. It wasn't an aspiration because my parents weren't homeowners. My family migrated to the United States, or the main island, as we like to call it back in Puerto Rico, in the late 80s. Even though we didn't know English and we didn't even have a place to live, my parents were hopeful that there would be more financial opportunities here in Milwaukee for our family. We cohabitated with a family who took us in to their three-bedroom duplex on the east side of Milwaukee. They were already a family of five and took all six of us in. So there was definitely tight quarters. Fast forward, when it was time for me to move out on my own, the resources were very limited, and the apartments that I could rent as a young mother were not that great. I've lived in places that were not safe or affordable. One day, we received a notice that we have to move because the landlord that I thought was the owner of the property didn't pay the mortgage, and the property got foreclosed on. Again, the people that we thought were the landlords didn't do what they were supposed to do and put my family at risk. Even though we have been paying our rent faithfully every month, I only had a few weeks to find a new place, and the choices, again, for a safe and affordable location were very slim. I had to settle for renting a place that was subpar, and I would eventually need roommates as well to be able to afford it. I knew then that I had to work on finding a long-term solution for my housing needs, for the betterment of my family. I didn't want that to happen again.
And kudos to you, right? Because I think recognizing the need is the first thing, right? You said that home ownership really wasn't something that you thought was possible for you because it wasn't modeled for you, but kind of looking outside the box and wanting more for your family, I think is wonderful. And so you took the leap, and, you know, here you are. It's great. What part of your housing journey inspired you then to work with the Community Development Alliance?
Again, I think it was from my own experience, my own story, that I knew that I wanted to help other people. And as I mentioned before, it sparked my interest into getting into real estate. So I wanted to be part of that process of other people becoming homeowners. I was drawn to CDA's mission of advancing racial equity through housing. The focus on systemic change and community-driven strategies aligns with my passion to reform policies and to be able to be part of the ecosystem of equitable development. That opportunity with Habitat elevated my life beyond home ownership. going through that homeowner program with Habitat for Humanity also gave me an opportunity to connect with my neighbors and become part of a larger ecosystem of a thriving and growing community. Another thing about the work that the Community Development Alliance was doing in the realm of creating that affordable housing plan that Kelly mentioned before was also that draw for me. I am very much a team player and a cheerleader, and I love the, you know, true testimonies of collective impact. And so becoming part, again, of a larger system that is fighting against the insecurities and the affordable housing crisis is what also drew me to become part of the Community Development Alliance team.
Well, and I think you were the perfect person for the job, right? Because you had firsthand experience, right? You had been through the challenge that you're now trying to provide a solution for, right?
Yeah.
So that's a perfect fit, I think. Tell us what role advocacy plays in CDA's work.
Advocacy right now is very central, and there is so much power in collective impact, as I mentioned, that CDA engages policymakers, community leaders, and residents to push for equitable housing policies. We want to be able to provide the space to amplify the community voices and to ensure that they're reflected in the decision-making process. Like you mentioned, my testimony, my housing journey is like so many others, and we can all come together to use our voices to elevate and work together on the solutions.
And I think people may sometimes minimize that piece. You know, we talk about how can you make a difference by donating or volunteering or advocating for, and that really is a big piece. I think if people just share, well, we talked a little bit about that in Kelly's segment too with Habitat, that if you're just out there sharing what you know, sharing your experience, people are going to pick up on that. And people may not be aware of some of the great work that CDA does. And so advocacy for that, building awareness on your mission, I think is really very, very important.
Yes. And one way that CDA has been able to do that is to help create what we call the Resident Advisory Council of Housing. It's a group of about 16 residents that live throughout the entire city. They represent different communities, different economic backgrounds, different ethnicities, and they come together to take on these tough questions, to talk about the policies that need to be changed. And then also they help empower each other to be able to speak up, not only for their communities, but, you know, for other communities throughout the city.
Yeah, that encourages other people to have their voices heard, right? Yeah, very important. Well, it's time to take a quick commercial break, but stay tuned because after we return, we're going to continue our conversation with Joanna about key partnerships CDA has and some future goals that they're working towards. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm talking in our last segment today with Joanna Jimenez from the Community Development Alliance. So, Joanna, let's talk about partnerships, because we know that collaborating with others is key to enhancing a nonprofit's impact. So tell us what partnerships are key to CDA's advocacy efforts.
We have a lot of partners, a very long list of partners, but I would say that the strongest that we absolutely need is collaborations with city officials, housing developers such as Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity, other nonprofits that share the same vision and mission as the CDA does, and also community and neighborhood groups. Again, we want to elevate the voices of those who are actually living these housing insecurities and that also want to be part of the solutions. So these partnerships all align with resources, and we hope to, again, amplify the impact that we can have together.
Well, talk about future goals, both with your partners. You know, what are some policy goals specifically that CDA is working toward?
We have many ambitions to address many policies that, you know, have been kind of not helping our communities grow and thrive through affordable and safe homeownership. We want to be able to prioritize homeowners over investors, and we want to protect vulnerable families from displacement. Some of the, just to name a few, tax foreclosures, we want to be able to repurpose those tax foreclosure properties in the city for attainable home ownership. Again, we want to prioritize those homes going back into homeowner hands rather than a big landlord or a big investor. Another thing that we want to focus on is giving renters an opportunity to be strong in their community. So, for example, a Tenant Opportunity to Purchase Act would be something of a policy that could, you know, reverse the trends of predatory investing by empowering tenants to first be able to purchase that property if the owner chooses to sell it one day. So again, sort of like how Kelly talked about the wraparound services of empowering those tenants to work on their credit, their savings, and anything else that would impair them from being able to buy the property. Another thing that we also want to focus on is the, much like the foreclosed properties, the vacant lots. There's a lot of vacant lots, especially in the north side of Milwaukee. We want to be able to preserve those for homeownership, so to build on. So residential vacant lots for aspiring homeowners, you know, that already live in those neighborhoods, we want to be able to protect those. One of our biggest priorities in policy work that the CDA is hoping to do with the partnerships is to lower property taxes for low-income aging seniors.
So, okay, let's settle on that for a little bit. What are some policy changes that could actually help aging neighbors that are burdened with housing costs? Give us an idea.
Yeah, well, our research and data shows that in Milwaukee County alone, there are about 22,000 aging neighbors at risk of displacement. This is because they spend more than their 30% of their monthly income, which is usually a fixed income for aging neighbors, on their housing cost. Low-income aging neighbors should receive a lower property tax benefit to avoid displacement. So this year, we were working with our alliance and our community partners to come together to discuss those possible solutions as actionable strategies. We recently brought in partners from the city of Philadelphia that were able to work with legislators on a bipartisan strategy to create various property tax relief programs, one which is solely focused on low-income aging neighbors by providing a property tax freeze. The work ahead to create a similar program in Milwaukee and Wisconsin will take a lot of work. But again, that collaboration, that partnership is super important to be able to accomplish this legislative work.
Yeah, and I think it's really needed. Like you said, you know, our aging neighbors, they really need to find solutions to be able to stay in their homes. That's just been a challenge that I know people that I know have been struggling with. And so let's find ways to keep them in their homes where they're going to feel more secure, I think, or most secure, as opposed to moving into some kind of a facility. So I commend you on that. I think it's definitely very important. What about future goals for mobilizing advocates?
Yeah, we at CDA and our partners, our allies, are very excited and empowered right now. We are hoping to convene a council comprised of, again, the allies, the residents, the community leaders, and people who are ready to provide their housing stories and their struggles, lived experiences, professional skills, and their passion for collective impact to show up. We, again, are ready to talk to the legislators and anyone else who will help us change these policies. And again, we aim to deepen our resident relationship. As I mentioned, the Resident Advisory Council on Housing. And so by creating this other council to really focus on the policy changes, we hope to expand our multilingual outreach as we do this. Again, our city is comprised of various neighborhoods with various ethnicities and communities. And so we want to be able to create more opportunities to co-design these housing solutions on that larger scale with state legislators.
So if you're listening and you want your voice to be heard, you really need to step up and get involved with CDA or with any other organization that speaks to this issue. Joanna, tell us how listeners can learn more and ways that they can get active in CDA's policy efforts.
Yeah, we work really hard to keep our website up to date. So listeners can visit our website, housingplan.org, to access our research and get connected to receive communications on how we will be mobilizing and convening that policy council, as well as other outreach efforts. They can also follow us on social media, or they can email me at policy@housingplan.org.
Well, thank you so much, Johanna, for sharing your story, sharing all about your passion of being a homeowner and the work, the great work that you do with CDA. Joanna Jimenez from the Community Development Alliance. And I also want to thank again Kelly Schlicht from Habitat for Humanity Milwaukee. Thank you both for all you do for so many people to help them realize the dream of owning their own home. I appreciate you both being a part of our interview today. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, or if you want to connect to see how you might help in some way, you can reach out directly to Habitat for Humanity or the CDA. And if you happen to know of a great organization doing great work in our community that you think would be a great guest for the show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. If you'd like to learn more about the great work that nonprofits are doing in our community, I encourage you to tune in Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about the various ways that these organizations are contributing to making our community a great place. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. And you can also visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows. And you can also listen on demand at your favorite streaming platform. If you'd like to make a difference in some way for someone in our community, whether that's by donating, volunteering, or advocating for, I encourage you to first determine what your time availability is, and then also what talent and or treasure do you have that you can share with others. That way you can figure out how best you can be a blessing and give a blessing. I'm sure anything you do would be appreciated by many. So thanks for listening today, and have a great day.